This segment is brought to you courtesy of Caribbean American Weekly, a newspaper owned and operated by Caribbean Americans. Read the latest edition at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To like us on Facebook, to advertise or to subscribe, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To advertise with the Caribbean American Weekly publication, for freelance assignments, to distribute at your business place, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. Or to meet a marketing representative at our office, call 718-771-0988. That's 718-771-0988. A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very special guest, Miss Ana Maria Achila, who is a candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Miss Achila gained national attention in 2018 for confronting Senator Jeff Flake in a Capitol elevator to protest Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court. Beyond this, who is Ana Maria Achila?
Pearl, thank you so much for having me here.
Our pleasure.
So I am an immigrant from Colombia. I came to the United States when I was 17, and New York was the place that welcomed me. New York is the place where I have lived and worked for the last almost 20 years. And the last 20 years I have spent as a community organizer, building community organizations that allow working class immigrants, black and brown communities to be powerful, respected, and taken seriously in our democracy. I helped build an organization called Make the Road New York, which is one of the largest immigrant rights organizations in the country. And then I went on to build a national organization called the Center for Popular Democracy with affiliates in 33 states and Puerto Rico. I have been doing that work because I understand that in order for our democracy to work for us, we need to be powerful. We need to change the power dynamics. And we need to change it so that we can have the things we deserve, like access to good, affordable housing, access to good, excellent educations in our neighborhood, schools in our neighborhood, access to childcare. And after all the years under Trump, we cannot go back to the politics of business as usual, the politics where we just give people a little bit and give millionaires and corporations a lot. In the state of New York, we should be leading in the efforts to stabilize the families and the communities that have been so destabilized by the pandemic. And so I think that this is the moment to change the way that we do politics in New York and to make sure that we have someone in the governor's office and the lieutenant governor's office that's exclusively focused on the things that are the priorities for most people: affordable housing, affordable and accessible childcare, good wages, access to healthcare, and making sure that immigrants are included in all of the systems of support that are available to the rest of New Yorkers.
Excellent. So your experience as an immigrant, how has this shaped you and influenced your decision to run for lieutenant governor?
I have been an immigrant every single day that I have been in this country. I came and had to learn English. I understand firsthand what uprooting means, how difficult it is to find our way in a new place. And I have spent most of my life, my adult life, inside immigrant communities, hearing the stories of workers whose wages are stolen because they are undocumented, hearing the stories of parents who cannot communicate with their schools and support their children in learning, hearing the stories of people who go to the hospital and never have an opportunity to consent to the treatment that they are given because there is no language access. I've also spent a lot of time listening to young people who are fighting to have the best education they can. And so every single aspect of our lives is shaped by our own experience as immigrants. And in the state of New York, the immigrant state, we still have policies that exclude immigrants. Governor Hochul chose in her first budget as governor to leave out the Excluded Workers Fund, which was a fund to provide support to the essential workers who didn't have access to other income supports during the pandemic. She set the tone by leaving out immigrant workers there. She now is setting the tone by trying to exclude immigrant families from accessing childcare. There's going to be a huge expansion to childcare, but she wants to leave out undocumented immigrants. She wants to leave out undocumented immigrants from the expansion on healthcare. So I have to ask, if we are in a state that celebrates the contributions of immigrants, how come we are promoting policies that leave us out? It doesn't make sense.
That's a very good question. And I'll tell you, your English is perfect.
Thank you.
Now, you know, you spoke about Governor Hochul, but she has had a history of being unfriendly to immigrants. So it shouldn't really come as a surprise to persons who know the history, you know her history.
That's right. Yeah, Governor Hochul back in the day was very active trying to scare people away from accessing driver's licenses, mm-hmm. and saying that she was going to use her power as a county clerk, I believe, at the time to criminalize undocumented immigrants who stepped forward to access their driver's licenses. So she has a long history of using anti-immigrant policies to advance her political career. And when she came to the governor's, when she became a lieutenant governor and eventually a governor, she promised that she was going to be different. But, you know, actions say more than words.
They do.
Her words do not match her actions.
And recently she got, I think it was $800 million for a stadium for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes. Yeah, so Governor Hochul is really showing us what she cares most about. The state budget right now is a late budget. It is her first budget. Her first sort of test of leadership was to pass an on-time budget that addressed the needs of New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. And the budget is late because she chose to throw several things into the pot at the end. One of those is little gift to her friend, $850 million to the owner of the Buffalo Bills to build a stadium in Buffalo. Buffalo is a city where 43% of children live in poverty. Buffalo is a city whose budget is $500 million. So she's giving even more than the entire budget of the city to a billionaire who doesn't even live in New York. He lives in Florida to build a stadium. And, you know, we should actually be investing that money in people. We should have an economic development approach that invests in housing and that allows people to create small businesses, that invests in the infrastructure that actually allows people to thrive instead of giving billionaires more. But this is Kathy Hochul. And so we should not be surprised. And, you know, there's nothing against the Buffalo Bills as a team. Mm-hmm. I love all the things that bring us joy. You know, you cannot hold me back from the dance floor. That is my thing. For some people, sports mm-hmm. is the thing that gives them joy. And we all need that. But we don't need to use public money and give it to billionaires to access our joy.
We certainly don't, especially when we have our communities in such great need. So you are running, obviously, for lieutenant governor, and you spoke about your experiences as an immigrant. But what qualities set you apart from your competitors and makes you qualified for that position?
So the lieutenant governor's office has been traditionally very underutilized. It is used as a sort of representative of the governor for ribbon-cutting ceremonies. Mm-hmm. But really, the lieutenant governor is elected by the people, both in the primary and the general. So that office should have a mandate that is oriented towards people, lifting up the priorities that matter to New Yorkers. The experience that I have of 20 years of fighting alongside communities to make sure that we are lifting up the needs, the urgent needs of regular New Yorkers, is what shapes my desire to bring that sort of that orientation to the office of the lieutenant governor. But I also have been someone that has been leading organizations. I grew Make the Road from a very, you know, not by myself, but with others, from a very small organization to one of the largest in the country. I then went on to build another organization with others that is a $35 million national organization. So I have a lot of executive experience that I bring to the table, which is obviously an important experience because the lieutenant governor has to be able to step into the role of the governor if he or she is unable to continue their duty. So, but I think that I want New Yorkers to think about what the lieutenant governor could do, even if that person never steps into the governor's shoes, because that office should be a sort of public advocate for New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. Governors are usually surrounded by a fortress of lobbyists and big donors, and they almost never get to hear from regular New Yorkers. The lieutenant governor's office should be an ally inside the executive mansion, making sure that the needs of regular people are at the center of the conversation.
Okay, so you spoke about the role of lieutenant governor, and, you know, there is always a possibility that you may win and your running mate for governor loses. How do you plan to handle this possibility?
Well, if I am so lucky to win the primary, I would, of course, partner with the person that New Yorkers choose to win the primary for governor to make sure that we are running a campaign that celebrates the courage of people and that elevates the priorities of regular people. And most importantly, I would want to partner with the governor to achieve material improvements in people's lives. So if I am running with someone who is not my running mate, I would work very hard to make sure that we have an agreement about lifting up an agenda that responds to the core priorities of people. And when we are in office, I would make sure that we partner on those issues, whether it is like forcing a conversation around housing and more focus on housing, more focus on childcare, more focus on healthcare, and also being a check on the governor, whoever the governor is, when the governor veers away from the needs, the priorities, the things that are urgent for regular New Yorkers.
I think it might actually be a good thing for New Yorkers if they have a lieutenant governor who is not a yes person to the governor.
I agree. You know, frankly, one of my main critique of the current lieutenant governor is that he has been quiet. He was quiet. Brian Benjamin is the current lieutenant governor when Governor Hochul allowed the eviction moratorium to expire in the middle of the Omicron wave. Mm-hmm. He was quiet when she introduced a budget that left out immigrants, when that budget didn't actually address or provide a real solution, a bold step forward to address climate. We have to remember that last year, New Yorkers drowned in their basement apartments and the subways flooded. Climate is not something that we can just do nothing about. So there are lots of moments, lots of opportunities for the lieutenant governor to use their proximity to power to shape the agenda. And I frankly think Brian Benjamin has not done that. And in fact, he has been promoting Governor Hochul's efforts to roll back bail reform, yes. The progress that our communities had achieved and fought so hard to win to make sure that in New York we're not incarcerating children, that in New York we're not putting poor people in jail because they can't afford cash bail, that in New York people who are charged with a crime have access to the evidence against them. These are not unreasonable things to have. And Brian Benjamin is lending his voice to roll back the progress that we have made. And I think that, you know, I was thinking a lot about Martin Luther King because yesterday was the anniversary of his assassination. Yes. And, you know, he talked a lot about the arc of history bending towards justice and that it is our work to do our very best during our lifetime to bend the arc of history towards justice. When we make progress, when we are able to achieve progress that has been long, hard fought, we have to protect it. So it's very demoralizing to see the governor and the lieutenant governor rolling back reforms that are clearly reforms in the direction of justice.
Well, let's also remember, too, that then Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul was very quiet during the Andrew Cuomo administration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she modeled that level of silence when we knew it was not a secret that Governor Cuomo abused his power in multiple ways, whether it was, you know, in interactions with people around him, or whether it was in lying to New Yorkers about the impact of his choice to send COVID-19 positive patients back into nursing homes and the resulting 15,000 deaths, and then trying to profit by selling a book about his management of the COVID-19 crisis. Andrew Cuomo was abusing his power throughout his entire career. And as governor, and Kathy Hochul was standing right there. I do not think that served New Yorkers. I don't think that's an appropriate approach to representing people who elect you. And I really hope to model a different way of leading and serving the people of New York.
Okay, so speaking about your candidacy, what support endorsements have you received?
So the first and foremost is the Working Families Party asked me to step into this role. So I accepted the invitation of people who have been fighting to make sure, for many years, who have been fighting to make sure that we focus the role of government on the needs of working families. And I have received the support of community organizations up and down the state, Citizen Action, Tenants PAC, Make the Road Action, New York Communities for Change, Community Voices Heard, which is an endorsement that I am very proud of because they are a Black-led organization rooted in Harlem, the base where Brian Benjamin comes from, Our Revolution, CPD Action, and also the support of elected officials like Comptroller Brad Lander, Councilmember Tiffany Caban, Nancy Sandy Nurse, Alexa Aviles, and soon when the budget negotiations are over, we will be rolling out many other endorsements.
Good. So how can one learn more about and support your campaign?
People can go to my website. It's annamaria4ny.com. So annamaria4ny.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter with the same handle, annamaria4ny. I want to say that even though we are living in a moment of multiple crises, climate, growing inequality, the pandemic obviously has brought us to our knees. The thing that for me defines these times is the courage of people. Mm-hmm. People who showed up to check on their neighborhoods after a hurricane, people who brought food to family members who were sick, obviously essential workers who did incredibly courageous work throughout the pandemic, young people who fight for their dreams, people who turn out on the streets to demand an end to state violence. And I think the challenge right now for every elected official up and down the levels of government is to match the courage of people, to be able to take hard stands to protect the progress we make and also to fight for the things that we need most. And that often requires not just listening to the needs of your donors, but actually listening to the needs of people who can't give you a single penny.
So, Ms. Achila, this is the moment. Finish the sentence for me. My name is Anna Maria Achila. I'm running for Lieutenant Governor of New York. Vote for me because
I will fight for you and I will use every single day to make sure that we are focusing on the things that New Yorkers really care about.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This segment was brought to you courtesy of Caribbean American Weekly, a newspaper owned and operated by Caribbean Americans. Read the latest edition at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To like us on Facebook, to advertise or to subscribe, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To advertise with the Caribbean American Weekly publication, for freelance assignments, to distribute at your business place, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. Or to meet a marketing representative at our office, call 718-771-0988. That's 718-771-0988.